We're really delighted to have in the studios by phone this morning Peter Currie. He's the head of media for NRMA. Lots of people would have seen him on TV and on the radio. He has a great story to tell about motoring. It's a very important part of Australian culture, and he's been a great advocate through NRMA to make sure that we get the best information. So on behalf of Spotlight, Darren and myself, Peter, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Great to have you on our show. We're really delighted. Interestingly, you've done some major research and surveys and have found some very alarming aspects concerning the experiences of road rage. It really is incredible when you think, Peter, from your research of over 2,000 people, that 7 out of 10 of those have had some form of road rage. That must have astounded you and shocked you, really.
Yeah, well, it did. That's absolutely right. I mean, these numbers, unfortunately, are quite stubbornly high. This is the second time we've done this research, and we had hoped 5 years ago that enough reminding and education of people of the importance of changing their behaviour would see those numbers come down, but they have stayed high. And in fact, when you look at Sydney, they've even gone up a bit. So not the outcomes that we wanted, but it is a serious issue. And you know, the more we talk about it, the more we remind people of how important it is to do the right thing, hopefully we'll start to see behaviour change.
You say stubbornly, Peter, it's Darren here. What sort of things do we talk about when you say road rage?
Well, look, this was one of the most comprehensive surveys the NRMA has done. 2,100 responses is quite a significant sample size. And when we asked, you know, our members across New South Wales and the ACT how they defined road rage, well, the most common definitions of road rage obviously are the extreme end. So that's people physically assaulting each other, you know, getting out of the car and beating each other, which we're unfortunately seeing more and more of on the news, getting out of the vehicle and confronting other people, tailgating in anger, and yelling or shouting abuse. And then as you start to go down to the other, I guess, less violent examples of, you know, people yelling abuse out the window or beeping the horn or, you know, flicking the finger, that sort of behaviour. So that's how the community broadly defines road rage, and that's unfortunately what so many people see all too often on the roads.
But Peter, thank you for that description. I was alarmed when I was looking at the stats that said in two of those cases, the physicality, if you like, the physical part, that 85% of the respondents of the 2,000 people actually got out of their car and basically either got it on or got out of their car and confronted the other driver, just left their car in the middle of the road or the highway or somewhere and said, mate, it's on, you know, in the sense that enough road rage had taken that part of their behaviour to everybody. I mean, the danger of doing that.
Yeah, and look, unfortunately, I mean, the reality is most of your listeners have probably seen something like that in the last year where, you know, they've been in traffic and they've seen someone, quite physically expressing their anger at whatever happened on the road. And, you know, that's the sort of behaviour we really want to address. I mean, obviously, beeping your horn in anger and, you know, using hand signals and yelling is completely unacceptable. We also know that it doesn't take much, unfortunately, for the situation to deteriorate from that to something far more sinister. And so we're trying to stop both. But in particular, what we want people to do is adopt really simple steps that help to just diffuse the situation before it gets out of hand.
So, Peter, it's Darren here again. We're in a very much a social world, and a lot of these things get posted online. Is that making road rage more sensational, or is it actually getting people to look at it in a way to say, this is not acceptable, why do we keep on seeing this?
Well, what it has done is it's just made it more likely that you'll get caught. I think ultimately that's what we're now seeing. Technology is playing a really important part here. Our own research found that, you know, more than 1 in 10 vehicles on the road today have dash cam. And, you know, a lot of the footage that we see on the news at night, a lot of the reasons why people end up in front of judges is because of the evidence captured by dash cam. But also, I mean, effectively every pedestrian is, has a smartphone, and so they're an extension of the law. And so what happens when you start to see this behaviour is people pull their phones out and film it. And that then becomes what we see on the news, and it's what gets handed over to the police. And so, you know, while the numbers have remained stubbornly high, What we definitely do know is more people are getting caught. So we may not be seeing the numbers go up over the last 5 years, but you're much more chance of getting caught than you were before.
Peter, we're going to go to a little break. It's been fantastic. You have articulated a growing problem, and we've got to do something about it. And both Darren and I and Spotlight congratulate NRMA for bringing the evidence, if you like, to the forefront of the public, and we're going to put in place an action plan. We'll be back in a moment. We've got a great song, and you're on 90.5 Spotlight with Darren and Jim, and we're talking to Peter Khoury from the NRMA.
Live 90.5.
Proud sponsors Linden Electric have been best in class since 1977, providing unparalleled electrical expertise in commercial, industrial and laboratory solutions. This dynamic family-run team prides themselves on over 43 years worth of client-focused results based on their core values of quality, safety and integrity. Linden Electric, experts in electrical, 9890 9663 or email james@linden.net.au for a booking. Station sponsor.
It's 20 minutes past 10, Live 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
Really delighted to have on the line Peter Khoury, the head of media for the NRMA. It's really an incredible experience that Peter is sharing with us with regards to road rage. Peter, one of the things that concerns me, we're going to look at some of the solutions that you put forward, but you know, the other one that really concerns me, and I see it often, I must admit, is tailgating. I find that so bad, particularly around pedestrian lines, around anything where people are worried about what people are doing behind them, in front of them, to the side of them, and they're trying to worry about people walking across pedestrian lines, often looking at their phone. I mean, there's so much real complexity going on in those moments that people, I don't think, really understand.
Yeah, look, and tailgating is a really good example. You don't need to be raged to tailgate. Unfortunately, we see it all the time, and that's just because people aren't giving adequate space to the vehicle in front of them, and you know, particularly on high speed roads, motorways, where you just see the slightest indicate, the slightest adjustment of behaviour in the car in front of you can lead to an accident. So not only should we be thinking about tailgating in the context of, you know, don't do it when you're angry, but you know, we shouldn't be doing it anyway. So yeah, you're absolutely right to call that out.
And Peter, just one final thing before we move on. Darren's got some really good questions. He wants to talk to you about solutions. But I was a bit disappointed. Only 3% or 3 out of every 100 surveyed would go to the police. I think that's a reasonably low number. That's just a comment as distinct from any comment behind the comment. But that's a pretty low number. I'm not sure what that's telling me or telling us.
Well, it's a couple of things. Well, first of all, the size of the sample.
Yeah, sure. Good point.
More than reflective of the population of the state many times over. And so that does, 3 out of 100 might not sound like a lot, but that's a lot of people calling the police and calling out this behaviour.
Okay. Good point.
But having said that, you're absolutely right. What we do encourage people to do when they see this behaviour, yes, it's important to, you know, I know people jump for their phones, but if you're jumping for your phone, it should be to call the police first and not to get your cameras out and start filming. And so we always encourage people to call the police if they see any untoward behaviour on the road. If you are the victim, absolutely, the first thing you should do is call the police, particularly if you're being tailgated by an aggressive driver. Drive to a safe location. If you know where the nearest police station is, go there. Absolutely. I mean, the most extreme of these cases is definitely something we want to stamp out, and that's the role of the police every time.
Well, I've got to tell you, I would hate, and I'm going to put it out there, Peter, I would hate someone tailgating me, even if I was driving slow, if I was causing it. I mean, in the sense without, you know, doing it to cause it.
Yeah.
And I had to look behind me, and I was going across a pedestrian line with kids walking across or people.
Well, now imagine that happening when there are children in the car.
Absolutely.
Our own research found that, you know, 1 in 4 cases, there were children in the car, either in their car or the other car. And so this behaviour is obviously intolerable, it's illegal, but doing it in front of children takes it to another level.
Absolutely.
And that's unfortunate for their safety, but also for their driver education, because children are watching what adults are doing and what their parents are doing as well. So that leads me on to, Peter, if I may, what can we do as drivers to help rectify this situation? What is the behaviour that we should be doing so we don't end up having road rage at all?
There is a whole bunch of really basic positive steps we can take to diffuse the situation on the road. Now, there shouldn't be road rage, and people should not lose their cool because someone inadvertently cut them off. But as the driver in the other vehicle, there are little steps, there are really basic steps that we can do. You know, the first and most obvious is the wave. I mean, the wave just goes such a long way to diffusing a situation. So if you've accidentally cut someone off, we always encourage people to wave. If you've let someone in, someone lets you in, give them a wave. And, you know, and if you're the person who is feeling quite heated about whatever might have happened on the road, you know, again, you know, calm down. But there are really simple steps that we can do as drivers to make sure that everyone's journey is safe and hassle-free. And things like, you know, use your indicator when you're merging or changing lanes. That's a big one. This is stuff that came out in the research. Obviously, don't use your phone illegally. Not only is that dangerous, but it is extremely frustrating for other drivers, and it consistently comes out in our research as such. Keep a 3-second gap so that you're not tailgating. Make sure if you're parking, use your indicator so people know what you're doing. And this is a really important one, particularly in city areas. Don't cross over intersections. Nothing is more frustrating than when one motorist or a bus, for example, holds up a whole intersection because they try and creep over the red light and end up not being able to make it across the intersection, and then you hold up a whole line, a whole way of traffic. So really simple steps that we all know every day, but can go a long way to just making sure that, you know, you just take the heat out of whatever's going on the road.
Thanks, Peter, for that. They're really great steps. And one big takeaway for me is, yep, keep the wave in your arsenal and not the finger.
Yeah.
And we could all be happier. No, thank you very much for being with us this morning on Spotlight. We'd love to have you back and talk about some other topics. And a big one that Jim and I were talking about in the break is the prevalence and the rise of all e-bikes and e-scooters and how they share the road and those sorts of things, and how as a society we can bring them in and also be just the common bicycle as well, and how we deal with that on the roads as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, there's a lot of technological change in terms of how we're getting around. There's a lot of effort now to try and get more electric vehicles on the road. Electric scooters and e-bikes are obviously another element of it. In terms of e-bikes and scooters, we want to make sure that they're safe and that they meet all the safety standards that are expected of vehicles here in Australia, because we don't want people, you know, putting their lives at risk. And so, you know, there's a lot of technological change happening in this space, and ultimately we will be better for it as long as we're putting safety first.
Peter, thanks for joining us today on Spotlight. We've been absolutely delighted. You're a breath of fresh air. The topic wasn't, one that we warm to, but it's one that's out there and is realistic. We're really excited, and we want you to come back, as Darren said. You've been on...
happy to.
Thank you, Peter. You've been on Spotlight with Darren and Jim on 90.5. We've been speaking this morning with Peter Currie, the head of media for the NRMA. Have a wonderful day, and thanks for all you do, Peter.
Cheers, lads. Thank you. Bye.
Alive 90.5.